Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
And it is Friday morning, thank goodness. Keyshawn's here, LZ's here, and as Chris mentioned, I'm John, filling in for Travis, because I can't beat him at golf.
John.
Yes, sir.
Now, both defeats came out of Black Gold?
No, one was at, where did we play the first one? There were two different, the most recent one came at Black Gold. Industry Hills was the first one.
Okay, so you got smashed at Industry Hills, then Black Gold hit you.
Here's the truth,
Keith. Well, maybe if y'all roll it out again in the future, you could play down in my club, and maybe they'll switch it up on you. Maybe it changes.
I would need to get a lot better to compete with Travis. Travis shot a 76.
Damn.
Which would be better than the best score I've ever shot. I'm getting better. The last two times I played golf, I shot 80. But those were really good rounds for me, like the best I could play. He's just way better than I am. But I got, you know, Keith, it's like when
Why don't you pick something else, man? Go bowling or something.
Well, no, you know what I would equate this to? It's like when you went on Dancing with the Stars and you told
me. Hey, watch out, man. Don't start.
I did a good job
on Dancing with the Stars. I didn't have enough social media followers to get those votes.
I would argue that what happened, and I told you this before you even went on the show, is – you were at your busiest time as a businessman. You were running restaurants and you were getting involved in Panera's and I think Rain was closing and you were flying back east to go to ESPN. And I said, Key, I know Rick Fox. I talked to him about this. Rick was putting in like 4 or 5 hours a day. You just don't have 4 or 5 hours a day. And you go, John, I'm a good athlete. I'm really competitive. I'll rise to the challenge. And I just don't think you have time to do it. Am I wrong?
No, not really. It became tough, but I was up against it anyway, because they cheated me, man. They had a whole lot of entertainers. How am I gonna compete with Corbin Blue? Okay.
Right. He dances for a living. Yeah.
Yeah, he dances for a living. John, and Christina Milian them. Stop.
Key.
John.
Or LZ,
John,
go ahead.
My friend, we had to call an emergency meeting for the Black People's Organization for Protection of Beneficial Stereotypes. See, so the organization has got a long title, but there are some stereotypes that we benefit from, and we want to try and keep those in place. There was an emergency meeting call because Keyshawn was screwing up the Black People Can Dance stereotype that we love and embrace.
I will state this as absolute 100% fact. There's no way Key was a worse dancer than Master P. Master P was so
bad. Man, I wasn't bad.
and Master P had that social following, and it was right after Katrina, and he was from New Orleans, and he kept saying, he was smart, he kept saying, any money I raise, it's for the kids. And so Master P kept getting all this social viral media going, and Keyshawn's like, hey, man, I got to be at ESPN in 2 hours. Can I get out of here? And so that's what cost it. By the way, Raj, how am I doing in the poll? Am I still holding on to my lead?
Well, yeah, I want to get that in a moment, but I did see some of that. And we looked back recently at the Dancing with the Stars tape, and I've told Keyshawn this, and I know why he failed. He thought he could just show up and smile. He didn't take it serious. He wasn't really moving the hips like he probably can.
Up.
You knew. You thought he was just smiling. He wasn't really dancing. He didn't take it serious. So that's why
I wouldn't
why
go
you
that
lost.
Far. I don't think he had time to train, Raj. I think there's a difference. He didn't just show up and smile.
Hey, Raj, you either with us or you not. Make up your mind.
See, I think deep down in your heart, you know I'm right. That you just took it on at a time in your life where you couldn't devote a ton of time to it. And when Rick Fox told me he was practicing 3-4 hours a day, mm-mm. I was. You told me your schedule.
Mine was probably a little bit longer than 3 or 4. I might have been in that job about 6, man.
Right, but you didn't have. At that time in your life, you didn't have 3 or 4 hours a day. You might have had 3 or 4 hours a week, and you were confident.
It was a lot. But that's water under the bridge.
Yeah, so that was me. That's why.
Look, I'm gonna change the message. We're moving forward.
We got the polls.
Yeah, we got the polls.
I did. Am I holding? This might be the only poll I ever do. I mean, this might be the only snake draft I ever do. Am I hanging on, Raj?
Well, there's a slight development. You still have an overwhelming lead in the polls, but it's dropped to 55%. But what has happened is between second and third, Keyshawn is up to 27%, and LZ has dropped all the way down to 18%.
I don't understand that because
I thought Janet Jackson was great. Yeah.
That was a brilliant pick. That was my favorite pick of the whole draft.
But his whole team, he has a great first round pick, but the rest of his roster, I mean, it just, yeah.
Okay, you know. So here's a story. Go ahead, LZ.
No, I was going to say, it's okay, John, because I got cushion in my championships. It's like when the Lakers allowed the Toronto Raptors to win a chip. Yeah, I'm disappointed, but I got a bunch of trophies in the case. I got a lot of banners. I'm pretty good. I'm okay. I'm all right.
All right. So I'm gonna say before I even start telling this story that George, if you look this up, if you go on YouTube and just type in Shaq swears, this will come up right away, and you can play it, but you're gonna have to bleep it. And here's why the story is so. It was like 2004 in January, or maybe first week in February. Of 2004, and I'm working a Laker game in Toronto, and it's super close at the end, and the refs are just letting them play, and Vince Carter's throwing his body down the lane and getting hammered and no whistle, and Shaq and Kobe are throwing their bodies down the lane and no whistle, and they're just letting them play, and the game comes, it's 84-83 Lakers, there's 5 seconds left, Toronto's got the ball, and Carter takes the ball to the rim, and Shaq just swats him. Just keeps him out of there. Game over. Lakers win by one. And I'm allowed to, as the sideline reporter at the time, grab a winning Laker. So I tell John Black, the Laker PR director, I want to take Shaq, and he says, okay, go for it. I get Shaq, and I say, Shaq, this was a hotly contested game. It came down to the end, but you guys pulled it out. How'd you do it? He completely ignores the question and says, I just want to say if the David Stern wants to ruin this effing game, he'll start sending these effing refs. And I grab Shaq's elbow and I say, Shaq, we're on live. And he says, I don't give a blank. So 3 four-letter words in the span of 15 seconds. And I know that the FCC fines you like $500,000 for every word. And I'm thinking, I'm so fired. There's no way to get out of this. I go, maybe I can calm Shaq down. I go, okay, let's talk about the game. And I got him to hang around for us. Okay, so here's, and you, George, you bleeped it out, right? Okay, so here's exactly how that went down.
I know you were frustrated at how the officiating went down the stretch there, but you guys pulled it out and was a big win.
David Stern, I wonder why the league is losing money. That's why people pay good money to come watch his athletes play and they try to take off.
Shaq, we're on live. I know. Let me ask you this.
All right. So he's let these words out, and I'm thinking, KCal's getting fined. I'm getting suspended. Shaq's getting suspended. This is career-altering for me. And none of that happened. Well, Shaq did get suspended for a game. But we didn't get fined at all. And the reason is because later that day was the Super Bowl and the wardrobe malfunction, and they fined CBS for that. So, LZ, when you said wardrobe malfunction, I was ashamed that I didn't think of that apology, because when Janet Jackson showed her her left, you know what, they basically said, okay, every CBS station, and KCAL is owned by CBS, still is getting fined like $1 million for that. And they left us alone. They didn't fine us for the Shaq swearing, so I got away with it. But by the way, that was the beginning, guys, of KCAL spending close to $1 million for a 7-second delay. Now every news show on KCAL is on 7-second delay because of that interview, because now they can control it and they can protect from being fined. Key, did you ever swear at the end of a game when you were mad?
At the end of a game or during a game
or in the locker room after? Do you ever get in trouble for that?
You obviously have never watched my post game press conference.
Yeah, because you were really candid back then.
Yeah, I had a few. Raj, I'm sure you could pull up a couple, huh?
Yeah, no. Yeah. George says he has one right now. Go ahead, hit it, George.
What can you do? I mean, there's nothing you can do. You can't do anything. There's nothing. We can't do. We couldn't throw. We throw in interceptions.
Did you, was there any monetary repercussions from that?
If it was, I didn't even pay attention to it.
So
I'm sure the PR, Frank Ramos and the PR people back then, Bears Nigerian, probably was like, you know, they took care of it, whatever it was.
So Shaq got suspended for the next game. And it was, at the time, Shaq was making like $400,000 for every game. So I felt really bad, and so I go to the back of the plane, and we had a bed back there where Shaq would recline sometimes. And I go, hey man, I feel really bad about this. I just want to apologize for my role in you know costing you money. And he looked at me and he goes, not your fault. Would do it again tomorrow if I could. Blank those guys. Like he didn't care. They issued an apology at the time, but let's just say someone in the PR department wrote that apology and Shaq reluctantly signed off on it. But he didn't care. He felt strongly about what he said and stuck by it the whole time.
Well, you should always feel strong about what you believe in. You should never – that's part of the problem in professional sports. A lot of people want to protect their image and their brand and not really, you know, give you the true feelings of who they are.
Yeah, you were that was true. That was how you were. You always spoke straight, and so did Shaq. Someone who has never gotten in trouble for anything she said on the air, even though we put you in every possible compromising position when you were part of Mason and Ireland, is Karen Kay. Are you surprised we never got you in trouble?
I think I did get in trouble, and I'm in tears laughing at that Keyshawn, that whole that clip. I'm in tears over here.
Well, that's key.
Hilarious.
Yeah, that's key. How's traffic looking?
Oh, well, you know what? It's real busy. I'm going to try to pull myself together and stop laughing because this is serious.
And we are getting through a Friday. Boy, we could use a weekend. It's been an extraordinary week here in L.A. LZ is here. Keyshawn is here. I am pinch hitting for Travis. And, guys, I want to circle back to the developments in Major League Baseball.
Oof.
It is it's a long drawn out story, but I'll give you the short version. The players propose that MLB play 114 games. The owners countered with a proposal of 50 games. And now the owners say that's their final proposal. That's what they want the players to accept. They've got room if they stayed on a regular baseball schedule. And they made a deal today. They got room to still play the World Series in October. They've got room for about 80 games. We had Torrey Hunter on the show earlier this morning, and Torrey said the only reason they're saying 50 is that they just don't want to pay the players. They don't want to pay them. You know they don't have to pay them their full salaries, the full 162. Now they don't even want to pay them half the salaries. So, guys, they're giving them a 50-game take-it-or-leave-it proposal. For now, they could change their negotiating position, but they're giving that to them for now because they can, because they don't think the players will turn it down. And earlier I asked both Key, you and LZ, would you take 50 games, and you both said yes. Now that we've heard Torrey Hunter, and now that you know a little more about the background, would you still take 50 games if you were the players, Keyshawn?
Not a chance. It ain't even close. You're not going to give me $25 and you keep $75.
Which That's is what not, they're doing.
Yeah, we're not doing that. And I didn't know about the television side of it. I just figured automatically, because it just seems like from a TV standpoint, that if you're only giving me 50 games and I pay for 162, then you're going to give me mine back. You know, but obviously the owners must somewhere in their television deal with the TV networks probably have some sort of clause in there that says that they're allowed to keep the money. And if they're allowed to keep the money, then you're going to pay me my money or else I'm not stepping on the diamond. That's just what
LZ,
it is.
LZ, how about you? You said earlier that you would also take the 50 games. Now that we've shed a little more light on it, you still feel the same way?
Yeah, I'm with Key now in terms of I had just assumed that everything was prorated. I didn't know you were going to get paid full wage. And then you're going to try and make me an indentured servant under the guise of COVID-19. But I go back to what I said at the beginning of this conversation, which is we've seen Major League Baseball owners either consciously or subconsciously collude to try and keep guys from getting big contracts a couple summers ago. And they were called out on it. And now you see them trying to squeeze dollars again. And I don't know if it's because a lot of these owners are leveraged, you know, beyond belief with their other business ventures. I don't know if it's because Mike Trout's making $500 million and people can see this train moving in a direction they didn't think it was going to move maybe 10 years ago. I don't know. But what I do know is this. It is despicable, absolutely despicable, to try to correct the market from your vantage point under the guise of the nation and the world dealing with a global pandemic that's already killed more than 100,000 Americans. Like, this is really absolutely, like, despicable. I get wanting to have a labor conversation about the money aspect of baseball. I get that. I never own a team, but I'm assuming that's some real expensive-ish. But what I don't get is trying to have this conversation, but pretending as if it's about the pandemic. That's what I don't get.
Tony Clark, who is the executive director of the Major League Baseball Players Association, issued a long statement last night following a call with the union's executive board. And he said they want nothing more than to get back to work, but they are resoundingly rejecting this proposal, just like you two guys just said. They say the concessions that they're seeking are in addition to billions in player salary reductions that have already been agreed upon. And they're asking them to take more. So because of this conversation that we're having, guys, I think there is a legitimate chance that we have no baseball and that they're just going to walk away and shuttle the season. And if they do, think about this. The NBA has moved to the summer. The NBA is coming into your territory. Football is full speed ahead. In October, we already talked earlier in the show that how on October 12th, there could be a Monday night football game between the Saints and Chargers head-to-head with Game 7 of the NBA Finals. That would also be when the World Series would be being played, in early October. If baseball shuts down for a year, don't fans make new habits? Don't you go, look at this pandemic. It's forced all of us to change our habits. Wouldn't they suffer losses in fans that they could never get back?
Well, I think they'll get them back over time, but I think initially it's going to certainly be, you know, just like when they had the strike, it's certainly going to be a little bit of a, you know, a sore eye, a little bit of a sting. But eventually, over time, they'll get the fans back because it's a sport that people enjoy watching and playing.
And never's a long time, John.
Yeah, it's not a long time.
It's a very long time. And the game of baseball has such an incredibly developed and well-manicured pipeline outside of the United States. See, remember, the conversations that we're having, they're very domestic-oriented. I know that there are players obviously representing the union from all over the globe, but the way it's being covered is very domestic-heavy. But the way that Major League Baseball has woven itself with having minor league teams and developmental things for young people all over, you know, the Caribbean and the Dominican Republic and things, it's going to be hard to keep people away from this game because it's done a good job of putting its tentacles in communities at an early age. You know, the reason why boxing was able to be surpassed in a lot of ways in terms of its place in the sports lexicon is because, you know, the boxing gyms were no longer well suited for young people to go and find a way to blow off steam. They were replaced by other things like AAU and et cetera. So it was easy to see how boxing's fan base was withered because it started from a very young age. But I mean, the College World Series, the League World Series, and as I said, all the other developmental leagues that Major League Baseball is invested in all over the country as well as the world, I find it hard to believe all of that is going to dissipate because of this domestic argument between millionaires and billionaires.
Yeah, I would think there has to be room for a compromise here. And by the way, the owner's contention that they would have to play this entire season without fans may not be accurate. You know, football's bringing fans in. You know, by August, guys, September, we may have been able to figure out a way to get fans in. We did a poll on our show yesterday. Mason sent out a poll that said if they were allowed just 25% capacity for Dodgers home games, would people go? Would you attend? And 60%, we've got about 3,000 votes, 60% of the people said, yeah, I'd go. So I think that the owners are not being completely truthful when they say that they're not going to get any money at all from a gate. It might not be what they're used to getting, but they could get some. I mean, just meet in the middle. You're billionaires. Let's play 80 games, 75 games. The players will do it.
John, I've never met a billionaire, and I have met some, who didn't want to make more money.
That's why they still. That's why they still do what they do. They billionaires for a reason.
Maybe. All right, I got a question for you guys. When we come back, and it's something that we debate on our show, and we were kicking it around earlier in the week. If you're a Lakers fan, if you want to see the Lakers win the title, do you want to knock the Clippers out in the Western Conference Finals, or do you want someone else to do it for you? Do you want Lakers-Clippers? We'll get into that next. Keyshawn's here. LZ's here. I'm in for Travis. Keyshawn, LZ, and Travis, 710 ESPN.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
All right, winding it down on Keyshawn, LZ, and Travis. I've had fun pinch hitting today. Sonano's going to join us coming up. But settle an argument for me, boys. Mason and I have disagreed about this forever. If the Lakers and the Clippers have never been this good in the same season ever before, they're the number one and two seeds in the West. If the NBA plan goes forward, and we all have our fingers crossed that this Orlando plan is going to work, I have said from the beginning, I want Lakers-Clippers. I think it would be great for the city. I think it'd be great for the radio station. I think that it would be great for the fans in L.A. Mason is the exact opposite. Mason says, I will never root for the Clippers. I want them to be embarrassed and eliminated in the first round so we don't even have to do it. They're like a bug on a windshield to me. Key, if it was your choice, and your goal is you want the Lakers to win it, do you want to play the Clippers or have somebody else beat them?
I'm with Mason on this one. I just want to get to the championship. I don't want to have to, because they, to me, I'll never root for the Clippers. They're the same. Why give them the opportunity to pop me and be able to say, well, LeBron wasn't all that, this, that. I don't even want to deal with that. Just y'all go over there. I understand the city and understand the greatness. The Clippers are going to be the Clippers, right? If they got to the Eastern Conference, I mean the Western Conference or the Western second round or whatever in the playoffs, that's good enough for them. They don't need to advance nowhere else.
LZ, what do you think?
I think that the national media would eat it up, because the national media doesn't understand this one thing we in Los Angeles do know, and that's the Clippers aren't our rivals. They're not our rivals. You can't be a team's rival if you never took championships, beat them, you know, in the postseason. That's not a rival. It's an interesting matchup, but to try and pass it off as a rival is just, you know, the Celtics are the Lakers' rivals, not the Clippers. So I don't see any reason to avoid it if you're the Lakers. Now,
here's why you avoid it though, LZ. You avoid it because you lose to them. Now it gives them hope for the future. And I ain't trying to give them. I want to be able to say same Clippers. I don't care who the owner is. He can buy up whatever he want to buy. Same Clippers. I want to able to say that.
There's a phrase that I love, and I'll say it right here and right now. The moon doesn't howl at the wolf.
Oh.
The wolf howls at the moon. So if the Lakers are the moon, you ain't bothered by what the Wolves are doing. It's the wolf that's trying to get your attention.
Yeah, and I don't want the wolf to get my attention.
I personally don't feel the need to even start talking about avoiding the Clippers if you feel like you're the moon.
Yeah, but
it's the Clippers that
they got a really they got a really good team. So I'd rather align myself with Mason in this one. And say that I'd rather slap them around, let them get out of the way. So I don't want to have to say, damn, we was close, man. We lost to the Clippers. I don't want to have to walk around and do that. I'd rather walk around and say, same Clippers, man. They're going to get a new arena. Good for them. Same Clippers.
On the last weekend before the league shut down, LZ, the Lakers beat the Clippers on a Friday night at Staples. Or, I'm sorry, the Bucks on a Friday night at Staples. And then the Clippers on Sunday. They beat them both. Who is a more formidable opponent? Who would give the Lakers a better series, the Clippers or the Bucks?
I think the Bucks, and this is why. We truly best can maybe match what Giannis does and what he brings. But he's a problem.
He's an unbelievable player.
I don't think people fully appreciate what a physical specimen he is and
where he is mentally. Kawhi has taken him down 2 years in a row in the playoffs.
No. I didn't say that he couldn't be beat. But just like, and I've been saying this, John, for months now, we knew Jordan was coming. We knew LeBron was coming. You could see it. And when I look at the landscape of the league, Giannis is coming. And so it's true, he's suffered some defeats early in the postseason, just as Jordan did and LeBron did. But once they figure it out, they're going to have a stranglehold on that thing.
See,
and when I look at Giannis, I see him next in that conversation of he's coming.
See, I don't look at him like that. And I know it's crazy because he's the MVP. But he's one of those MVPs that I don't believe could take his team to win a championship by himself. He's one of those MVPs. You know what I'm saying, John?
Yeah, but Chris Middleton, who's his wingman, is an all-star player, is a very good player, and is underrated. And he's got some help, Key. It's not that team. They have the best record in the
NBA.
But
you see how you had to stress some?
Yeah.
You had to talk yourself into saying some.
Yeah, you're right. He doesn't have an Anthony Davis.
That's all I'm saying. It seems like he's one of those MVP players that needs that help to be on par, kind of, you know, if he's 1A, he needs a 1B-ish type, not
and
a
who
2A.
It?
Well, and, LeBron, and James, LeBron James doesn't need a 1. LeBron James did not need a 1B. He didn't need a 1B.
Bruh, I'm sorry, man.
LeBron didn't need a 1B.
Key, I'm going to come back a little on that. Every year LeBron competed for a title except that one Cleveland team when he was like 22. He's had a 1B.
How about a 2A?
And he had a Kyrie.
I don't think y'all understand what I consider a 1B then. Maybe I could explain that on the other side.
No, you got time. Go ahead.
Oh, what's okay. You said come back. I thought you was going to break.
No.
A 1B to me is slightly less than the 1A, slightly less than.
So you're not fighting them for the ball.
Yeah. But a 2A is Kyrie Irving. That's a 2A. A 1B is a Dwayne Wade type when Dwayne was doing his thing. That to me is a 1B. Kevin Durant and Steph Curry are 1As and 1Bs. I don't see where Giannis can do that without that.
Thing.
That's just me, though. I may not know basketball.
If your teammate is heading to the Hall of Fame, if your second best player is a Hall of Fame bound player, you straight. LeBron James championships have come with having a Hall of Fame destined player at the side. And that's no slight on LeBron James. That's just the way you win championships. So when I look at what Giannis is doing, is Chris Middleton bound for the Hall of Fame? As of right now, I would say no. And because of that, I give Giannis a lot of respect for what he's been able to accomplish thus far and think that he has shown a capability of uplifting the team. Because when I look at his squad that's leading the league and with the record right now, he doesn't have a surefire Hall of Famer next to him.
Yeah, they're very well coached, Milwaukee is. They're excellent defensively, and they lead the NBA in scoring. They're kind of sneaky great, Milwaukee. Now, the question, Keyshawn brought it up. When all the chips are down and you're playing for a championship, can you push your team over the top? And that's the one thing Giannis has never been able to do. Giannis has never even been able to get a team to the finals because he's either run into Kawhi or run into LeBron.
And that's really just my point.
Guys.
That's all. That's
guys,
all.
Giannis is young.
He's really young. I understand he's young. He only been in the league, 5 years now, 4 years now?
He's,
I get
he's,
it.
He's 25 okay. years old.
I understand all that, though, LZ. It just doesn't seem like to me that he's going to be one of those players that kicks it over the top. Like, he's going to be good and great in a Hall of Famer, but he's not going to ump unless he get that one.
Yeah, and we already know, and we already know that LeBron and Kawhi is that guy. You know, either one of them is that guy who can you've got to go through them to get to the title. Hey, coming up, we'll get Sinano in here. There's something nobody's talking about that could turn the NBA tournament in Orlando on its head. I mean, completely upset the apple cart, and I'm not talking about the pandemic. I'm talking about something on the court. I'll get into that next. All right, last segment of my pinch hitting gig for Travis. Keyshawn's here, LZ's here, guys. Thank you for having me today. You're good sports to let the two golf idiots change roles for a day. So this has been fun for me. But I want to. George is going to get in here in a second, so we'll get him to weigh in on this too. But there's this whisper in the NBA. It's like a little rumbling that won't go away. And, you know, I talk to people every day that work in the league. I talk to other broadcasters, other players. I know what has been said publicly. I know what the public spin is. But this rumor will not go away. And that is that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving could show up for the playoffs, that they're both healthy. LZ, do you buy that for a second?
John, if the guys would tell you, that's the first thing that came out of my mouth when they started talking about the 1-16 seed.
Yeah, he's been pushing that.
We got Sinano. We got George. Are you hearing the same things I'm hearing? For whatever reason, if you talk to all the guys we talk to, because you know, George, you and I are in the league. if I talk to it won't completely go away. It's like those guys aren't coming back, and somebody will go, are you sure about that? 100% positive? Are you 100% sure no Durant, no Kyrie?
Well, I'm not as sure on Durant. I think it will be tough to kind of keep him away. My understanding with Kyrie is based on his timeline of his rehab that he would probably not be available for a first-round matchup.
Key, if Durant comes back, would you automatically make the Nets, the Brooklyn, the favorites to come out of the East, or would you still pick Milwaukee?
No, I can't, man, because I don't know what he is. Dude's been out for a year. You don't know. I mean, I understand we see clips of him knocking it down like normal, and but that is not under stress. That's under give me the ball, I'm going to pull up from here at the arc, bam. Now, will he eventually be Kevin Durant again? Yes, I think so. But initially out of the gate, it's going to be hard to tell. So putting him up at top is tough to see. Now, if they get through the first round or something like that and you see some progress, now you start to say, okay, they look like a different team now. They look like he looks like Kevin Durant. We don't know if he's going to look like Kevin Durant. And Kyrie and Kevin has never played together.
I'm not really worried Olympics. About them not.
Yeah, but I don't count the Olympics.
I don't worry about them playing together. One, because they're both really smart basketball players, and two, their positions, unlike say the Clippers, who have some repetition at positions with their stars, they're very different positions. Perimeter.
Yeah,
Kevin
no, that's true.
Kevin
that's true.
KD and Ikri. This is very different to me.
But we still
I don't think
gotta,
it's going to take as long to jail.
But you ain't got a long, you know, you don't got a long runway.
Right.
This is a short runway.
And by the way,
we got to be able to communicate, and our communication need to be on point.
Right. And it's not like Kevin doesn't like to have the ball in his hands. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know he plays more off the ball than maybe LeBron does, certainly. But it's not like he doesn't like that. When he was at Oklahoma City, it was basically him and Russ trading off your turn, my turn. So I would assume that this offense would be similar to that. But again, that had a ceiling too. And to Key's point, LZ, I would disagree on that. And to your point, I would disagree to your point because I do think you need some sort of chemistry and camaraderie. Like, I don't think you can just kind of do that as teams have already
basketball.
Had. Yeah, as teams have already had months, even with months off, they at least know where the guy likes the ball when you're passing it to him, things of that nature. Like, just the little subtleties that they don't have that other teams would have.
George, I started the show today by asking Key and LZ something that I'm hearing, and I'm sure you're hearing it too, that we should proceed with caution on all this NBA news, that this is the plan, and it's a hopeful plan. It's an optimistic plan. but there's still a lot of things that need to go right in order for it to happen. How confident are you that everything's going to go down the way was laid out yesterday?
Well, I think that, and this is something that I've been pushing for a month or so now, which is I'm glad to see that teams will be arriving to Orlando early. If the games are going to start July 31st, they're arriving on July 7th. That gives you plenty of time to test guys. It gives you plenty of time that if guys do test positive, they can kind of self-quarantine. You don't have to do any of that before games start. That, to me, was the most important thing as far as keeping guys in the campus bubble environment as healthy as possible for games, and I think that that's the measures they've taken. So I feel fairly confident if it's just the players that are there. Once families get introduced, I'm a little maybe a little worried about
that. Contemplating and talking about families being able to join?
Yeah. Key, as teams get eliminated, I think that later in the process, maybe in like September, like in the, you know, we get into the thick of the playoffs, I think that some families for the teams in the conference finals and obviously the finals will be allowed to be there. But yeah, that would be the part I would worry about a little bit. But I actually feel pretty good at least going into it.
Who are you apologizing today?
Drew Brees, George, since you left the air yesterday, Brees apologized again. Jake Fromm has apologized. Do you have anybody new on the apology tour?
No, I don't have anyone new on the apology tour. I actually, yesterday, I have spent the last 9 days plus or whatever glued to the television or social media watching the news. And yesterday, right before bed, I said, look, I've had trouble sleeping the last week or so. So I'm just going to find something mindless to watch. And what I did was I put on YouTube and I just started going through, Key, you would love this. I went through 90s NFL football games and NFL highlights of year in review for this team and that team. And I had a blast watching that going to sleep and just kind of falling asleep to something mindless for a change.
Well, don't say anything wrong on your show that's coming up next because you might have to apologize on Monday.
Yes, I will be careful, Key. Thank you.
All right, so Dono is next. Thank you, Key. Thank you, LZ. 710 ESPN.